In fact, last time you were in Tasmania for Concert in the Vines, you were there with Kate Sobrano. What a stunning afternoon that was.
It was fabulous. It was a fabulous show. We did two shows. I still think you had restrictions there, which is kind of really bizarre, isn't it? I always find that bizarre that you can sit down without a mask, stand up, you have to wear a mask.
Yes, that's right.
And yet, if you're at the footy, you can do whatever you like.
Yep.
But I think all those things will subside soon. But it was a wonderful show, and the weather was great, and I can't wait to get back there, you know. It's my retirement home, if I ever retire, would be in Tasmania, because it's the hidden gem.
We'd love to see you down here on a permanent basis, and you have almost made Tasmania home, because about 12 months ago, just after all the lockdowns, you were down at Rocky Cape, you were down at Queenstown, you had a show down at the Paragon.
Incredible. That was an incredible little tour, you know. That was just a little duo, but it was, it was just so much fun. And you really get to sort of know the place when you're driving around. And, you know, from one end of Tasmania to the other, it was, I really, really enjoyed that. Look around and you say, wow, how come no one knows about this?
It's a hidden gem.
It is. It truly is. Queenstown. Yeah. It's just gorgeous. The Falcons, they met their death there because we broke up in Hobart many, many moons ago at Peter Hudson's establishment. That was the last gig. That was the last official gig without the, you know, it was an all, I don't know, instead of having a break, you know, this is what happens when you're younger. Instead of having a break, I'm sick of you guys, I'm leaving. Instead of saying, listen, I might just have a little break for 6 months and come up with something, you know. I think the Falcons could have kept going if I said that. I think we'd be still going today because, you know, I started writing all kinds of different songs and then starting having some hits with the Black Sorrows, and the Black Sorrows became surpassed JoJo Zepp and the Falcons from record sales, sold well over 2 million records or something. But there's something about the Falcons that I still love and still have a, you know, it's a light in my heart, just kind of part of the band. I wasn't the band. I was the worst thing in the band. And there was that thing about, you know, all for one for all, and all that kind of nonsense. You know, of course, years go by, and it's no longer that. It can't be that, just the economics of it all.
These days, Joe, you find it hard to put in the songs for your shows because you've got so many over that wonderful career.
Yeah, well, I do have a lot. Look, the reason I play The Shape I'm In is I think the audience love the song.
They do.
And the band, this is a weird thing. I've resisted it for a long time. And they're saying, oh, come on, man, let's do The Shape I'm In. I grew up with that song. I said, no, I don't want to do that song. You know, this is the Black Sorrows, man. You know, like we're a country rock band. Do that song. That's great. I finally sort of fell into line, and I love playing it. And I love playing Hit and Run. There's just something about that song. But I think they were unique, and I never thought of it at the time. They were quite a original bit of music, and not only were they hits, but of course, if you've got a hit, people want to hear that. You know, we're full of nostalgia, more so now than ever before. And I like to go forward, you know. For pretty much all my life, I've always looked ahead, really interested in what tomorrow's got to offer than what yesterday bring.
Yeah.
My 50th release, this record. So I've made a lot of records, and I still feel I've got something in the tank.
Is it fair to say, Joe, this is a little bit different from your previous album, Citizen John, which also equally was another great album?
Yeah, I think it is different. I think it just kind of, it was the extension of something that was happening. And the record that I'm just about to make in May is an extension of that. You're always trying to link things together, not write the same song, but link the same enthusiasm and whatever that vine is taking you, you know, where it's taking you, the musical vein, you know. And then sometimes I say it in a whole bunch of different ways, but normally you can mine a certain idea for a certain period of time, and then you've got to find something new to sort of play that represents who you are, and that's what I'm trying to do. I think this new record that we're doing, you know, we're gathering up the music for now, is a shift again. I've never wanted to write the same song twice. I wish I could sometimes.
You've got four shows coming up in Tasmania at the end of March. So you're at the Princess Theatre in Launceston on the 31st. Now, this is no April Fool's joke. On the 1st of April at Rocky Cave Tavern for a show there. Backing up on the 2nd of April at the Home Hill Winery. Fantastic. Not a bad spot there at the Huon Valley there, Joe. And then on the 3rd of April, Scamander Beach Resort in Tasmania. You're telling me off air that they've got you flying here, there and everywhere at the moment, so there's no rest for you. And when you get to Tasmania...
you have to catch up with all the gigs that were cancelled. I'm running around like a 25-year-old, but really, I'm falling apart like a cheap suit from Hong Kong.
Making up for lost ground, and it's nice to see things back. It's nice to see albums being released, which I did in September of last year. St. George's Road, which is a fantastic follow-up to Citizen John, and just another one of those great albums in that, 19 studio album collection, and that's not including the greatest hits and revelated stuff. And thank you very much for your time this morning on 7B Breakfast. Always a pleasure talking to one of our icons in Australian music.
Hey, thank you so much. It was a pleasure talking to you.